In the book of Lamentations, chapter 1 and verse 10, Lamentations, that's the Lamentations of Jeremiah, page 978, if you have a good Bible, it says, "The adversary has spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things, for she hath seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation." The heathen, you see. It's amazing to me. I read a scripture the other day, and it says that God, this is God talking, and he's talking sort of like as you and I might talk. And he says, he's mad. He's very unhappy. He's very unhappy with these same people, the Jews and children. And he said, "Your dad's an Amorite, your mom's a Hittite." Well, we use that all the time, and although we use different different things, you know. Well, your dad's this and your dad's that, see. So we use those things. Have we not let the heathen in? We have. We've let the heathen in. The unclean are accepted in all facets of religion and worship, you see. And even preached such. The heathen. I mean, look in the pulpits. Sodomites, queers, effeminate, pedophiles, harlots, idolaters, and perverts of all kind. I saw this week, the magic underwear wearing Mormons have recognized same-sex marriage. A headline that I said put this morning, this was the other morning I'm reading, and it said that the majority are not in favor of drag show story time for kids. What's wrong with that picture? How about nobody in their right mind is in favor? How about no one in their right mind would be in favor of such? How about so-called drags either destroyed or put out of the land? How about that? How about Ezekiel chapter 9? You got your Bible there, not too many pages ahead. Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 6. "Slay utterly old," and now this is the Lord. Is this any less God than John 3:16? "Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary." I want you to start out at the church. "And then they began at the ancient men which were before the house." The old preachers. That's who they began at, you see. And the love God that we have today in modern evangelism, the so-called Jesus, it wouldn't hurt a fly. How about the Jesus of the Bible that's returning in flaming fire to take vengeance? And that said over and over, "Except you repent, you'll also likewise perish." And so I say, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. You see? If in this life only. And I'm going to give you some hope today. And you've got to bring this to your mind. Peter said, you say, "Oh, no, but I don't know. I've been preaching 35 years. Peter said to put you in remembrance. There's a biblical principle in the raising of a child. I heard a good song. It was playing on the radio, and I clicked it. It was made in 1956, and it was called the Childhood Boogie, I think. Childhood Boogie. And he said, you know, when I didn't do what Daddy said, he did the Childhood Boogie on the back of my britches. And he said, and when we went out and tried smoking or drinking behind the bar, and Daddy'd come out, and then he did the Childhood Boogie on the back of my, on the seat of my pants. You see, the Childhood Boogie. The raising of a child. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. Brother, you go there and read it to me, would you? 13:24.
He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes.
Yeah, there you go. And how does that go along with Hebrews chapter 12, 7 and 8 concerning you and I? That's what God does to us. If you be not chastened, you're what? Do you remember? Bastards. What's bastard mean? Does anybody know? Oh, you can't say bastard. Huh?
Fatherless.
You see? Now you pull up any modern sermon and try to find hellfire and brimstone. Hell. Try to find hell. Yeah. How about preach to us smooth things? Yeah? How about the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine? How about that, you see? And you and I are seeing the fulfillment of these scriptures. Read the headline of the day, any headline, I just and see the fruits of modern preaching. No fear of God before their eyes. And they said, in the Bible, he said, the Lord seeth us not. And that's what people think. The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. And that's what people think. They think, well, the Lord's forsaken the earth, you see. But we're not so. Those that are in Christ are not so. Our hope lies not in this world. And you've got to remember that day and night. Our hope lies not in this world. Thank God. And never forget your pilgrim status. That we're just passing through. And that's hard to do because we've got deep roots here, you see. And I confess, I often do. Easy to be caught up in a world of instant events. A world that's never been like any other that recorded. Never forget or forsake your heavenly newspaper, this book, the King James Bible. Never forget or forsake it. Read it every single day. A headline like 1 Corinthians 16:13. Brother Reed, go to 1 Corinthians 16:13. Now, you want a charge? You want a charge in your life? 1 Corinthians 16:13. It'll certainly give you a better day than Fox or CNN.
Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong.
Be strong, quit. Quit you like men, watch ye, stand in the faith. You see that? Are we not to edify ourselves in hymns and scripture? How about meditation? Have you just stopped lately to meditate on the things of God? It's hard. It's hard when you're raising kids. But it's hard when you're not raising kids. It's hard all the day long, you see. I came into confusion this week. You know what I was doing? I was looking up a verse of scripture. Because I've got a big concordance. The pages are about falling out of it. I wore the thing out. But now I've got a tablet. We just type in our phone or tablet and we get the scripture. But every time I typed this verse in, I had to call Melissa in there. It distorted the verse that I was looking for by changing the translation. Every time. So you've got to dig. I actually had to dig and work to override to find the King James Version of the verse that I was looking for. Simple words. I was telling somebody at a luncheon Wednesday. A simple word you can type like thou. These old words, old English words, or seest or doest. They're forbidden. You can't. The iPhone, the Apple won't pull those things up, you see. They attempt at all costs to change the truth into a lie. But make no mistake, a homosexual is a sodomite. And nothing that anybody says or does is going to change that. Another word taken off the modern phone, you see, sodomite. He's not gay. He's queer. He's queer, you see. The Bible says vile affections, natural use of their bodies. You remember in Romans chapter 1? It's against nature, you see. It's abomination. But where's that cry? Where is it? Certainly not in the pulpit. Is God still coming back to kill little children? You better believe he is. You better believe it. Is he truly returning in flaming fire? Bless God, he sure is. That's the way he's coming back. Are we to buy a sword? You better believe we are. The charge of Paul to Timothy Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. I got a handful.
4, 1 and 2.
Yes, sir.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Amen. Now read verse 3 through 8.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Yeah.
But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears.
Yeah.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Amen. Now turn back to chapter 3 and read the first 5 verses. This is why we're to do this.
This know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away.
Could that not be written on 11/20/22 today? Has it ever not been more so? Now hear me. Let's continue the race. The course that's set before us. Does God not know our lot? We just read about it. Before we started, we read some things of his attributes and the attributes of God. Does he not know our lot? And every day when you're getting, and you're in the storm, does he not know that? I mean, we become like those that we read a while ago. God doesn't see us, and God's forgot about the world. God, you must have forgot about me, you see. Has he not set you and I at this hour where we are? Does he not see us? It's his scroll. He laid it out. He wrote the book, you see. It is written, he said. It is finished. And lest we forget, if God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, that's what it says. We either believe it or we don't. I'm asking a verse of the most comfort to me. I have down here, brother, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, and I've said this before, read it carefully.
And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin.
Yeah, amen. And now in closing, in that same chapter there, verse 19 down through verse 25.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from our evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Yeah, amen. Now, that's a marvelous thing, isn't it? That's a great, glorious thing beyond all so-called preaching and religion right there. It's an act of doing, you see. It's who we are, and it's what we are. So there's hope. You see, no matter what happens, there's hope. And so I told you about something. I said I've made some notes. I've come to know that a hard heart, joy, peace, and love are nowhere the same in Scripture as what they are in men's minds or what they're portrayed to be. And that's extremely important, because as we read our newspaper, the Bible, and we read the word love, and we read the word joy, and we read the word hate, and we read these words, if you don't know what that is in God, then you have an emotional, a fleshly religion. You've got a God of your mind, you see. And you must know such in by dividing Scripture. It's the only way you can get the answer. Even Pink said that. If you want to find what something means, go to Scripture, because it defines itself, and it's not of any private interpretation. A hard heart. Boy, I really want to ask you. I really do. I use the Bible. I didn't go to Pink. I went to the Lord. I got on my knees. Lord, I need to know these words. A hard heart is not knowing or hearing God. That's what our, and you find that in the 95th Psalm, verse 8 to 10. It says, they have not known. They've got a hard heart. It says they have a hard heart. They have not known. So when we were all such, we just didn't know. And there are millions on the earth today that don't know. What do they have? They have a hard heart. And like he said and throughout the word, he said, you need a new heart. You need a new heart. Now, this is one I should add. Joy. I know what comes to your mind because it comes to my mind. But that's not joy as a fruit of the... Joy as a fruit of the Spirit is the affection of knowing God. Hard heart is not knowing. We get a new heart and we know. And what do we get? Joy. We get joy. You see, the elation of faith. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1:24, because I don't want to just do this. Second Corinthians, brother. Sorry. 2 Corinthians 1:24. We'll get it right. Right?
Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand.
There you go. Over your joy. By faith you stand, you see. The word peace, that's easy. The answer is one word. Christ. There is no peace but Christ. He is the assurance of our salvation. And I wrote down here Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. You remember when Paul, and he said, man, how? And he goes, this I want to do, and 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 this I want to do. And he goes, how? And he goes, and I'm paraphrasing, Christ Jesus. He had no peace. And he goes, Christ Jesus. And then Philippians 4:7. Go to Philippians 4:7. We'll read that.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. And then, of course, love. Love, love, love. The love of God. And you know where it's the actual the best definition that I could find for love is John 3:16. Everybody goes, yes, of course, amen, yes. Okay, John 3:16. You know what? You shouldn't have to even turn to it, really. Okay? God so loved the world. That's the greatest testament of love, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should inherit eternal life. Right? Okay, so what, now I'll put you on the spot. So what's the definition of love? We just read the verse. What is love? And this is love. And it should be love on the earth too, not just in a biblical way. That he what? Gave. That he gave. You know what love is? It's giving. You want one word for love? Always? It's giving. You know how God loved the world? He gave. What did he give? The most precious thing? Look. The most precious thing that he had. Who did he give it to? My God, he gave it to me. These be the attributes, or rather affections, not of the flesh, but of the soul and the spirit. And that's where religion has failed. And that's where preaching has failed. And that's where these so-called have failed. And as a form of such, they're found in the flesh. But they're temporal. And that's why they don't last. It's why the people leave churches and why they leave the so-called faith, you see. I believe the two good illustrations for me in the Bible, because they both had the same name, they were both named Saul. King Saul in the Old Testament and Saul, who became the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. They were both Benjamites. They were both leaders. I believe they were both very fervent in their religion. You can find evidence for both. But there was one difference between the two. The apostle Saul, who became the apostle Paul, was born again. So if you take these attributes, that hard heart was taken away. You see? Now that leads, we're getting there. That leads to Ezekiel. If you turn to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 3. This is actually another message, but it's just a page or so. And I said, well, I'm just going to put it here. And Ezekiel 13:3.
Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing.
And have seen nothing. And then go to the next chapter, chapter 14, verse 12 through verse 16.
The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate.
Not even their sons and daughters. Three men. How many shall be saved? How many? Remember the deluge? Eight souls. Eight out of all the millions on the earth. Bible says few chosen. Few there be that find it. Ezekiel in 14, look at verse 3.
Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them?
Yeah, idols are in their hearts, you see. I read an article this morning. They have a new word for immoral promiscuousness. And it was mostly, had to, believe it or not, had to do with women. And they call it, they're called sex positive. Now, without going into details that we shouldn't discuss here, term denoting that there's no right or wrong. And all these young women are giving themselves anytime they like, you see. No right or wrong concerning fornication. And that's where we are, the Bible says, as in the days of Noah. And who shall be saved? All those so-called professions of faith? And you know, the parents condone such behavior by not preventing it. So, well, she's my daughter. I couldn't put her out. Really? What do you think God's going to do to her? You see? Their daughters free as whores. Since when will there be fornicators in heaven? The works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And the Bible says they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we all know folks that do such things. He goes on to say, those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I think we've narrowed the gate some, have we not? How narrow the way. So you see, once you've eliminated the sinners and the religious that are lost, there'll be but 8 souls. You see? There be but Noah, Daniel, and Job. We're coming to the end as never before. Find a preacher of righteousness, a holiness preacher. Go find one. As we started, they have seen nothing. They have seen nothing. The Lord says, I'll set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 15:7. Everyone shall find out the Lord. They'll all see, either now or later. You see? You'll either know him in obedience, or you'll know him in fire. And there is no in between. Many know him in the flood. In the flood. That however long it takes to drown, that 3 to 5 minutes. They knew him then when it started to rain. You see. We as Christians sing a glorious song. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father. But it's not so with the lost. But it was too late. Because they hear him not. Do you hear him? Do you still hear him? Read his book. Read his newspaper. Pick it up and read it. And learn what joy is. And learn what love is. And learn what these attributes and these affections are. Learn what they, don't go, oh, well, I know what love is, so I don't need to. Do you ever just take the time? Well, what is it? That's what it really is. You see? That's what it really is.